Your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. I want to show you something in the Bible tonight about jewelry. Jewelry. And Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 20, verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So he's making a comparison here. He says there's gold, and we know gold is beautiful. And a multitude of rubies, and there are a few things in the Bible compared to rubies, and we know they're beautiful. He said, but as if better than those, the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Talk about jewelry tonight, look at some verses here and make some applications. Hopefully that'll be helpful and encouraging to us. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thankful tonight for these folks that are here. Thankful for the beautiful day. Thankful for the four men that are saved and for, you know, 4 years of diligent work and lots of seed sowing and other men's seed sowing and lots of people praying and from time to time a harvest and yesterday a bountiful harvest. What a tremendous thing. And truly, Father, we do glorify you in the church for this great work that you've done, and allowing us to even have a part is quite phenomenal. But we are truly, truly blessed, and we thank you so much. Tonight, Father, we pray you'll open the scripture and make some application here in our lives that will be a help to us, an encouragement to us, a help to this church. And we pray you'll do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when you read the New Testament, we're in this verse, we're going to leave this verse, but we're going to come back to it if you want to mark it here in a minute, because in the outline that I have, we actually deal with the subject of this. But I want you to see that here the Lord makes a contrast, and the contrast is there's gold, there's rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. When you get to the New Testament, the Lord talks about jewelry as it concerns women wearing jewelry. He talks about it in a couple of passages, and when he does, he is discouraging the wearing of jewelry for a reason. You'll see. Turn with me to two places, and you'll see. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Don't get nervous. This is not telling you that you. 2:9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. That if you're in here wearing jewelry tonight, something's wrong with you. Not that at all. He's showing us something here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. He says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but (parenthesis) which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So he's dealing with a moderate approach to these subjects: modest apparel, shamefacedness, and then not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Look again in 1 Peter chapter 3. And you can really see in the context of 1 Peter chapter 3 the purpose, why he's saying this. You see it in 1 Timothy 2:10, 9 and 10, to some degree, but you really see it here. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he's addressing wives about being in subjection to their own husbands. And in verse 3, he says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, you can tell that he's talking in terms of modesty here, or moderation here, because he didn't say, if you take him literally, and he says, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of putting on of apparel, we would be having a very serious problem here tonight. Okay? You're wearing clothing. There's apparel, but what he's saying is, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. Why? Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, that's what we call jewelry, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So basically what he's saying is, when you have godliness, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you, if there's too much attention to the outward appearance, then his presence and the godliness that his presence brings in your life is obscured by the attention that is drawn to your adorning. Do you see that? And so he says, so his recommendation is, or his admonition is, don't let there be so much of that attention to the hair and to the outward adorning, to the and to the ornaments, that you can't see the work of God on the inside and the godliness on the inside. And that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. Matter of fact, we're not going to go there, but if you go back to Exodus after the making of the golden calf, God is so mad. And then he gets with all of Israel and he says, all right, what I want you to take the ornaments off. And they do in Exodus chapter 33, verses 4, 5, and 6. They take the ornaments off. Because what's happened is, he says, I don't want to look at all that. I want to look right at you. It got in the way. It interfered in the Jews' relationship with the Lord. They'd made a golden calf out of some of that stuff. So we have to be careful about those things. And you know, certainly you understand that. Particularly if you get catalogs at your house or if you watch advertising, there is so much attention paid in modeling clothing and modeling makeup and modeling jewelry and modeling hairstyles. Everything is on the outward appearance. And there's a lot of attention paid to that today. And it's very frustrating, I think. I would guess that it would be frustrating because they're using models that are very young and then making them up to look older than they are and then frustrating women who don't look like that so that they can sell a lot of that product or a lot of that clothing. So you hope to be able to look the same way of that picture that you saw. And that's very frustrating. Now, that's all I want to say about that. That's not the direction this message is going at all. But the world is stuck on that. All right? And the Lord says, I want you to back off of that. I want you to start thinking a little bit more like me. Here's the deal. And we're going to see a few passages tonight. You have godly jewelry. You have godly jewelry if you will wear it and if you will allow the Lord in you to display it. And this is for both men and women. Let me show you some of the jewelry that God likes. Now, you've already seen Proverbs 20, verse 15. We'll come back to it in a minute, but while we're here, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, here it is, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Have you read about New Jerusalem? You know, the stones that are in that house are not just like granite or marble stones cut out of the earth. They're sapphires and diamonds and emeralds and jasper and pearls. Well, of all the kinds of stones there are, living stones are pearls. And you might remember from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the pearl of great price. The church is likened unto a pearl. The gates in the city are pearly gates. And we are lively stones in this building. And I suggest to you that that means we're pearls. The living stones. That we are pearls. And so what's the first godly jewelry that we see? It saves souls. When you get saved, you are like a pearl now placed into this spiritual house. And we'll be a part of that house, which is being built by the Lord until it's completed. And then we enjoy that relationship with the Lord in eternity. Well, that's an interesting thing then. I'm looking around here. I think I know the state of every person that's here, so I'm not going to preach the gospel and tell you you need to get saved tonight. But I will say this. There are four more stones that we know of that were added to that spiritual house yesterday in that port. Amen. And that's godly jewelry. That is something that, those are jewels that are making up God's house. And so here's the thing. Get you some of that. Now, we've long learned that we don't go out and make people get saved. And I'll tell you something that's interesting. I'll just make this comment. That whole concept of going out and getting people saved, this idea that I'm going to lead you through this program that I learned in a soul winning class and make you pray this prayer with me, all the emphasis is on praying that prayer. All the emphasis is on getting that decision. And some of those people that make the decision to receive Jesus Christ do get saved. A lot of them who make that decision never get saved. So, and the emphasis, listen, is on the wrong thing. Go back to verse 2, same passage, just to make this comment. He says, as newborn babes, quit and be satisfied. You're in the kingdom of God now. No. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Watch it. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The decision is not the ultimate objective. The decision is just the beginning. It's all about what kind of life we have with God after we get saved. So if you leave this work to the Lord Jesus Christ and He simply uses us in the sowing of the seed of the Word of God and in the preaching of the gospel, He can bring them to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ when He's ready and when they're ready, and get them to grow from there as newborn babes that become something in His house. I think that's really important. Nevertheless, listen. Just make sure as you plan your day and schedule your activities to be conscious of all of the opportunities that you have to sow some seed, to put out a tract, to say something to somebody that can be the thing God would use to stir their hearts there, like was done in Alabama, so by the time they get to Corpus Christi a year later, they're ready to get saved. See how that goes? All right. I think that's wonderful. Boy, when I remember distinctly, we were doing an 8-week soul winning course here, and then we did an 8-week discipleship course here in getting ready for Fishers of Men, and we did it in that building. We hadn't even moved here yet. I remember that. And I remember the day when it came my turn to teach on one segment of that, and as I was teaching it and preparing that segment, it dawned on me in that preparation and teaching that day, the pressure is off of us. This is the work of the Spirit of God. He's the one that reproves. He's the one that makes them born again. He just needs a mouthpiece. And when I realized that and we taught that, I thought to myself, man, this is good work. Okay, save souls. Let's go on to something else. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. And the beautiful thing is, as a church, we can all have a peace. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. All right, so now, taking it away from the lives of other people, let's look at our own lives. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. As a jewel of gold, there's another reference to that. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So, the next godly jewelry is this, a fair woman. A fair woman. A fair woman is a jewel of gold. Right? A fair woman is a jewel of gold. I'm looking around here tonight and there's some fair women in here. And on Sunday, even more. And you're a jewel of gold. You're a jewel of gold. That's God's jewelry. But when a fair woman is without discretion, she's a jewel of gold in a swine snout. That's not a good place for a jewel of gold. So I really, really encourage you tonight, if you're a fair woman, the best thing you can do for yourself is to get discretion. Proverbs chapter 8, I won't take you over there, takes you through the whole process of getting wisdom and getting understanding and getting knowledge and getting discretion and then keeping those things. You know what's plaguing young women in the world today? No discretion. They're being told by young men this and that, and they're being told by their girlfriends who've experienced way more than young women should experience at that age, things that they've experienced, and they feel compelled to go out and experience the same things. And you know what that is? That's a lack of discretion. A fair woman, if she would recognize that I am a jewel of gold in God's eyes, she would, with that discretion, defend herself against all of those worldly attitudes and suggestions and wait on God to allow her to be able to enjoy those things that others are rushing to enjoy. And you know something? She wouldn't find herself in a swine snout. Amen. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter 12, which is right there, and look at verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown. There's another jewel. Is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Well, we won't talk about the second part of that one. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, about a virtuous woman, that her price is far above rubies. A virtuous woman. You know, if I were a woman, and I'm not, but I suggest to those of you who are, that to go to Proverbs chapter 31 and other places where there are descriptions of the virtues of a woman and understand and thoroughly absorb and digest and understand and apply the things that you're seeing there in Proverbs chapter 31 and that you're seeing in a verse of Scripture like this. Because I'm going to tell you something, when you marry and your husband knows that you're a crown to him, and you know you're a crown to him, let me tell you something, there is a lot at stake in that marriage. There's a lot of appreciation. Husbands are supposed to honor their wives. Very easy to do when she's a crown. And when he knows it, and everybody else knows it, and you know it. Very easy to honor his wife when she's virtuous. Also, there's so much at stake. He wouldn't dare lose a crown. Men are very careless with their wives today, and they don't treat them well, and they're not careful to continue to appreciate them as much as they did before they married. It's like, I caught my wife now, you know, and so I'm going to go fishing, and I'm going to go hunting, I'm going to take care of my manly duties, and, you know, I'll see you when I see you. When he knows that she's a crown, he's going to be very careful with that. He's going to treat that very, very preciously. So I say to you, don't listen to the world on how to be a woman. You listen to God on how to be a woman, and you will be a jewel, a crown. And let me tell you something. We have some crowns. We have some crowns here. It's wonderful. Jewelry, save souls, a fair woman, a virtuous woman. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15, where we started. This could apply to either of us. I'm a man. When I read it, I generally apply it to me, a man. But in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. God says, you really, you know, I'll tell you, he says, God said, I made them. Gold's beautiful. I made them. Rubies are beautiful. But he says, you know what I really like? I like the lips of knowledge. That's a jewel. You know what? You don't hear that much today. Most speaking today, people don't know what they're talking about. In the news, people are so anxious today to be the first ones to break the story. They don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes you have to wait for a year or even 18 months to sort out all the chaos that was associated with that story to find out what really happened. Sometimes it's being reported and it's being scripted according to a narrative that they want you to say, and they leave out all kinds of important details about that story. And they want you to repeat it, and they want you to get scared, and they want you to get mad. So don't learn how to speak by what you hear. If you don't know, cállate. Don't say anything. You know, the Bible is very, very clear about these. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. If you don't know what you're talking about, just look there and smile and act like you know what you're doing, but don't say anything. What do they say? It's better to be quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. You know, the funny thing about it, and we've said this before, but when a person knows what he's talking about, it doesn't take him long to explain it. He just says, here it is, right here. And you're like, that's it. So make sure you know what you're talking about. That would say, then, you really want to gain some knowledge. The lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Well, what do you want to know? Know about God? Know God? Know God's words? When you absorb a lot of Bible, digest a lot of Bible, apply a lot of Bible, and you know because of the words of God and because of experience with the words of God that these things are so, it's amazing when somebody comes to you and says, what should I do in a situation like this? Quote them a verse of Scripture, and that is exactly what they need. That is a precious jewel. In other words, that looks better on you than piercings and gauges and tats. That's what's precious, the lips of knowledge. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Look at another one. But you got to know what you're talking about, and the place to find out knowledge is in this Bible. Proverbs chapter 25. Look at verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 25, 11 and 12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Now here's the ornament. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, that's like an earring, see? So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. A wise reprover upon an obedient ear is like an earring of gold. Is like an ornament of fine gold. You know, that's a beautiful thing. There are many times in life where there is a situation where you and a person who really needs to hear from you are brought together at just such a time, and you're able to tell this person just what they need to hear at just such a time, and what you've left them, the Lord says, is like an earring of gold once it's been received by an obedient ear. What does that take? What does that take? It takes this. You must know when to say, what to say, and to whom to say it. You must know when to say, what to say, and to whom to say it. If the person that you want to say something to is a scorner, that's not going to be a very pretty jewelry. The Lord says a person who does that gets himself a blot. You might have a broken nose. But when you've got somebody who has an obedient ear, and you've prayed and asked the Lord to give you right counsel at just the right time, you can say something to them that will change their life forever. And they wear it just like an earring. And it's beautiful. So what should we do? When we see somebody that we know that needs a reproof, we really ought to pray for the Lord to help us to know what to say. And we really ought to pray for the Lord to show us when to say it. And we really ought to pray for discernment to know whether they will receive it. Years ago, I had a young man that was in trouble with drugs. And he had an older relative was very concerned for him. And this older relative was the kind of person who knew folks and could get things done and was always the mediator. He could pull strings and put people together and just fix things. That's the kind of man he was. But in this case, with his young relative, his young nephew, he did not know what to do. And he agonized over that for days. And then one day, I was with him, and he smiled, and he said, I know exactly what to do now. He said, what I need to do is, it's like a staircase. I need to wait at the bottom of the stairs for him to fall. And when he falls, I need to be there to catch him. You know what he was saying? He was saying to go after him now and try to convince him that what he's doing is wrong isn't going to change him. He has to feel some of the weight and consequence of what he's doing. For me to ignore him wouldn't be the right thing, because there will be a time when he might want to listen. So the wise reprover waits until he's got an obedient ear, and then he gives the reproof. Well, the young nephew turned out to be quite a success, and the Lord really did turn things around. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know something? That's the way we need to be. You probably see some people, sometimes you think, man, I just need to tell this. You go over there and blah, 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 and the next thing you know, you got a big argument on your hand. It's not working. That's not an ornament of gold. That's a mud face. Or what did we say? That you got egg all over your face? Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Doesn't go well. So a wise reprover. One more I'll give you. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Just have something real simple. Hopefully some things you're hearing tonight God can give you and apply in your life. They certainly are helpful and very wise. A good name and loving favor. The Bible says a good name in Proverbs 22:1 is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So a good name and loving favor should be chosen rather than silver and gold. Well, I'll tell you what. There are a lot of ways to do this. You know, the best way is to gain a close relationship with the Lord. Because once you have favor with God, He'll give you favor, listen, with the men that He wants you to have favor with. That's very important. And a good name, you want to make sure you're in a relationship with the Lord, where, like the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, and without boasting, I mean, it's just a consequence of doing those things that please God. You can say, I do those things that please God. Jesus said, I do always those things that please God. Unfortunately, we have sin in our lives that still troubles us, but that's a good name. I would like to say, I don't think you're going to get a good name and loving favor broadcasting your life on social media. I don't think that's a good way to do that. I think that's a good way to get trashed. It really is. I think you're better off gaining a good name and loving favor with people with whom you have good relationships. You know, nobody that befriends you out there that's any distance, you know, they're not going to come to your aid, and they're not going to come to your funeral. It's the people you're close to, the people that you love, the people that you relate to, the people that you help. Boy, when you help people, that's loving favor. And they say to others that know you, you know, that's a good person. I was really down and out. I was really in trouble. That person came to my aid and helped me. That's important. God appreciates that about us. He really, really does. I remember... You know, it just sticks in my mind. I realize I'm going to say something about my father. And I suppose if I stepped to the side and I said, here, you have an opportunity. Each one of you could give a similar testimony if you had a good dad. And I'll just say this. That your life is going to come to an end one day. And you want to make sure that you've lived it in such a way that what people are saying about you is not trash talk. And I remember when my father died, over 20 years ago, I went to the funeral home at an off hour. Nobody, my family was all at the house or going doing other things. I went by myself where the visiting was, and it wasn't a scheduled visitation time. And I walked into the funeral home, and it just had a small room there, and the casket was laid there. It was open. My father was there lying in state. And there was one man in there. It was a black man. And so I went up there and just looking at my dad and standing there. And that man looked at me and he said, "Well, so what relationship are you to Mr. Leo?" I said, "I'm his son. I'm one of his sons. I'm his third son." He said, he introduced himself. He said, "I'm glad to meet you." He said, I'd like to tell you something about your dad." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Your dad was chairman of the board of the bank, and I'm the custodian." He said, "But every day that your dad came to the office, he always called me by name and walked over to me and shook my hand. He said, I will always appreciate your dad for doing that to me." He said, "The other men just come in and go to the office, but your dad always made it a point to call me by name and greet me and shake my hand." You know, at least in that man's eyes, my father had a good name. You know, people are, we're hasty today. We jump in our cars. We run from here. We got more things to do than you could finish in a day. You're bumping into people all the time. You don't know how a kind word or a kind gesture or a polite thing can be a real help to somebody in a day when they've been kind of beat up by the world. If anybody should be able to do that with a good name, it should be a Christian. So let's be conscious of that. That's jewelry to God. And we wear it well when we wear His jewelry. Father, we're sure thankful today for an opportunity to look in the words of God. We ask you, please, help us to be mindful of these things. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.